EASA says 2007 was a good year for aviation safety in Europe. The Pentagon denies a U.S. plane was downed in Iraq. And airline capacity cuts may go even deeper. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack in Orlando, Florida. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, October 8, 2008. The European Aviation Safety Agency announced yesterday that 2007 was a good year overall for aviation safety in Europe, but adds that challenges still remain. In its second annual safety review, EASA says the number of fatal accidents involving aircraft registered in member states performing commercial air transport operations dropped from 6 in 2006 to 3 in 2007, accounting for only 5% of all fatal accidents in the world that year. As for this year, EASA notes, quote, "Nevertheless, and despite the tragic accidents of a Spanair MD-82 on August 20th, which caused 154 fatalities, the trend for the decade still indicates that the number of accidents worldwide in commercial air transport is declining," unquote. EASA's annual safety review is intended as public information, and its numbers are widely quoted by other organizations worldwide. EASA fosters cooperation between regulators and industry through the European Strategic Safety Initiative, which analyzes data to identify opportunities to improve safety. If you thought the capacity cuts announced by several major airlines for this quarter were deep, get ready for more. That's the opinion of aviation consultant Michael Boyd, who predicted Monday that U.S. airline capacity on domestic routes may decline further next year, and falling capacity could spur still more cuts. The Dallas Morning News reports that at his annual Boyd Group Aviation Conference, Boyd said that this is not like previous industry cycles, and customer demand could fall faster than the airline's plans to cut seats. Quote, "This is not an aviation cycle. What this is a whole new environment. We have grown up on oil prices being relatively low. They're going to be high. That means how you do business, where you do business, is going to be different," unquote. He notes that for the first time in 35 years, fuel prices have prompted airlines to park aircraft and cut service, even before customer demand has dropped. Quote, "They don't want to carry low-fare people to Florida. They don't want to carry people to Vegas anymore. The reason for that is real simple. They can't make money on it anymore," unquote. On the airline side of things, American Airlines VP of State and Community Affairs, Kevin Cox, finds himself a frequent bearer of bad news as flights and some entire routes are dropped. Quote, "I've been in my job for a year and a half, and I've done nothing but deliver bad news to a lot of communities. It's a very sobering message to say we're not coming back anytime soon," unquote. Cuts by American and regional partner American Eagle total 12% of domestic capacity compared to a year ago. Alaska Airlines plans to operate 16% fewer flights in the first quarter of 2009, year to year. One of the few bright spots in the business, believe it or not, has been public acceptance of all the new a la carte fees for checked bags, changed flights, and snacks, and more. Brandon Peterson, Alaska Airlines controller and VP of finance, observes that passengers complain far more about a $25 fare increase than they do about a $25 charge for a second checked bag. Quote, "I think those fees are here forevermore," unquote. Well, maybe. It sure was nice flying to Orlando on Southwest this week. If you're an occasional airline passenger, you may be annoyed when the captain tells you to keep the seatbelt buckled anytime you're in your seat. If you're a flight attendant or a frequent flyer, you know what turbulence can do. The Melbourne Herald Sun reports that many of the 303 passengers and 10 crew aboard a Qantas A330 were enjoying a relaxing flight at 30,000 feet over Western Australia and moving around the cabin or seated but not wearing seatbelts when the plane suddenly rose, then dropped 350 feet. Dozens of passengers were thrown from their seats. 20 passengers were injured. 10 were airlifted to hospitals with spinal injuries, broken bones, and severe cuts. Most of those injuries were reportedly sustained by passengers and crew near the rear of the aircraft. The Australian Transport Safety Bureau says the pilot of the flight, which was in the final hour of a trip from Singapore to Perth, diverted immediately to Learmonth. An investigation is underway. Captain Ian Woods, the head of the Australian International Air Pilots Association, told the paper something frequent flyers know. Quote, "Any time an aircraft hits clear air or is at the end of a thunderstorm, an aircraft can pitch upwards and drop unexpectedly. But these things do happen quite regularly without serious consequences," unquote. Up next on ANN, Piper brags about its piston sales. Bombardier FlexJet offers carbon offsets. And Hawker Beechcraft announces a $70 million sale at NBAA. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Fly wise with the visionary new Piper Jets wide-open six-seat comfort and stellar performance. Single Williams turbofan FJ44 3AP engine. Maximum cruise, 360 knots true. Range, 1,300 nautical miles. Useful load, 800 pounds. Maximum operating altitude, 35,000 feet. Optional seventh seat or lavatory. The Piper Jet, no compromises. To learn more about the new Piper Jet, visit NBAA booth 5152. Log on to piper.com or call 866-FLY-PIPER.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for October 8th. I'm Paul Plack. Piper Aircraft seized the opportunity represented by the NBAA show here in Orlando to crow a little bit yesterday, announcing its piston deliveries are up 24% in the third quarter, as the overall piston aircraft industry registers a decline. Piper also announced overall deliveries for the first 9 months of 2008 are up 18% over the same period last year, and that its upline PA-46 models are registering record deliveries. CEO James Bass said of his company, quote, "We are a modern-day American success story, a company that relies on American workers to provide the next-generation aircraft for the world," unquote. Piper's success in the piston niche is fueled largely by a plane for which many industry observers doubted there was a market. The cabin-class Piper Matrix is an unpressurized variant of the Malibu Mirage platform. The Matrix has accounted for almost half the company's 195 aircraft deliveries in the first 9 months of 2008. Piper billed $150.5 million in the first 9 months of 2008. That's up $25 million from last year. That's a very nice place to be when your company is working to bring its first turbofan to market. Fractional jet operator FlexJet announced at NBAA yesterday it will be the latest to jump on the green bandwagon, signing with offset provider ClimateCare to sell offset credits to its customers. Beginning this month, all new and existing FlexJet owners may join the voluntary program to offset CO2 emissions to make their flights carbon neutral. Program participants will pay a per-hour fee sufficient to fund activities that generate an equal reduction in CO2. Fred Reed, president of Bombardier FlexJet, moved to diffuse a common criticism of such programs. Quote, "We selected ClimateCare as a partner after extensive research concluded that the company offers the highest standards for choosing, measuring, and reporting on its programs to balance carbon emissions," unquote. The tight credit market has held down the announcements of aircraft sales that are typical at NBAA, but one exception this year came yesterday when Hawker Beechcraft confirmed an order from Isis Group, a UK-based property developer and investment company, for 10 Hawker 400 XPs. Total value of the contract with options is in excess of $70 million. The official signing took place at the show here in Orlando. The order marks Isis Group's initial aircraft purchase for its new investment in the growing Indian aviation industry, Aviators India PVT Limited, based in Bangalore, India. Aviators India has been in business for 14 years with wide experience in charter operations and marketing of aviation products and services. The company will lease the planes from Isis to begin charter services in the second half of next year. Delivery of five of the Hawker 400 XPs are planned during 2009 and the rest of the planes in 2010. Isis Group Managing Director Sanjay Kantaria says the 400 XP was chosen for its capability, performance, and reliability. In a major affirmation for EADS North America's light utility helicopter program, the U.S. Navy has become a new military user of the UH-72, ordering five of them for use in pilot training at the Naval Test Pilot School at Patuxent River, Maryland. The Navy joins the active Army and the Army National Guard in acquiring the twin-engine Lakotas, a testament to the helicopter's versatility in a wide range of operational missions. The Navy's firm fixed-price order is valued at more than $24 million, Deliveries are scheduled from October 2009 through January 2010. The Army wants more than 350 Lakotas through 2017, with mission responsibilities ranging from homeland security to support and logistics missions. Still ahead, a federal judge tells prosecutors to return a seized Gulfstream. Velocity reports a sale of 20 XL-5s. And Chairman Mao's private plane is up for sale. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, October 8th. I'm Paul Plack. In a decision which could have wide-ranging implications for U.S. law enforcement at all levels, U.S. District Judge Cormac Carney told prosecutors pursuing drug and investment charges against Broadcom executive Harry T. Nicholas III that they went too far in seizing his Gulfstream IV and threatening to impound it indefinitely. The judge noted, quote, "It's not evidence. It's been used by so many different people. Whatever testing should have been done was done. Why does the government need this airplane?" Unquote. The Los Angeles Times reports the dispute over the seized property, and specifically its status as evidence in the case, represents a potential dilemma for prosecutors. By going after Nicholas's homes and the plane, they face the possibility that defense attorneys may demand to see any evidence implicating the plane was used to carry drugs. That could allow the defense an early look at the prosecution's strategy. Judge Carney isn't giving prosecutors much time to pick their next move. He wants the government to return the plane immediately. Velocity Aircraft of Sebastian, Florida, announced yesterday a new purchase order for 20 Velocity XL-5 aircraft. The announcement is the first major sales contract secured by Velocity since its acquisition by Rocket Racing Composites back in April. Rocket Racing Composites is a division of the parent company for the Rocket Racing League. Velocity's XL-5 airframe, which is the basis for the Rocket Racers, is described as an easy-to-build, easy-to-fly, true high-performance airplane with the ability to carry up to 5 people and their baggage more than 1,000 nautical miles plus at speeds in excess of 200 miles an hour. Scott Baker, the president of Velocity, credited the sale to public interest in the plane since promotional activity for the league began. He even credited changes made in adapting the plane for rocket power. Quote, "These new developments in performance and comfort benefit Velocity owners who use their aircraft for personal and business travel." Unquote. There was no mention of the buyer in the announcement. The racing teams themselves, however, will need aircraft to prepare for the start of competition. Velocity says it's delivered over 675 aircraft kits to customers worldwide and is designing 2 new models to be introduced next year. It was ironic when the personal airliner of former Communist Party Chairman Mao was erected as a static display in the parking lot of an icon of capitalism, a shopping mall in the seaside city of Zhuhai in southern China. If that was an affront to Mao's philosophy, he must be rolling in his grave now. The Toronto Star reports that after almost 10 years in the parking lot, the plane is being sold to make room for more cars. Wang Zilei, the general manager of Redong Group, the development company that owns the plane, told the paper there was no other way. Quote, "Every day people are fighting over a limited number of parking spaces. We have to provide our customers with better service. We have to let it go." Unquote. Mao called capitalist reformers within his own party capitalist roaders, or those who would head down a capitalist road. Presumably, when they reached the end of it, they'd also need capitalist parking lots. Zelay says the British-built Trident won't be sold to just anyone. He wants it to go to a buyer who will preserve it for its historical significance. And as far as what would Mao think, at least the for sale sign mounted on the pole under the plane is created on a red banner. Finally, scientists aren't sure why nearly 1,000 penguins got stranded far north of their normal migration area this year, on beaches along the equator in Brazil. It may have been unusual ocean currents. Whatever the cause, a Brazilian Air Force plane was used to relocate more than 370 of them along Brazil's southern coast closer to their normal habitat. The Associated Press reports onlookers cheered as the young Magellanic penguins entered the ocean and quickly swam away in what the International Fund for Animal Welfare called the largest penguin release ever in South America. The penguins were prepared for their trip home at an animal rehab center in the northeastern city of Salvador. Sadly, the IFAW says many of the wayward travelers either died or were too sick to be returned home. Experts hope a small group of older penguins, released along with the young ones, will help guide them south to the Patagonia. I don't know if you've ever visited the tropical beaches of equatorial Brazil, but I can only guess you'd feel really out of place if you were dressed in a tux. That's the latest from Aero News. Sorry, I know, old penguin joke. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, in the interest of equal time, we'll hear part of James Carville's response to comments from his wife, Mary Madeline, at NBAA's opening session Monday morning. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.